You go and people put people in the water and or they pour them and they're like, what's that all about? But baptism is a really impactful thing that happens in the life of the church. I mean, I'm struck every time we read the New Testament. When a person puts their faith in Christ, they are baptized. In Matthew 28, Jesus, before he leaves this earth, gives these parting words. He says, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus commands us as Christians to baptize people who have become his followers. And what we discovered is that throughout the generations and throughout centuries, that there has been sort of this different pull from many different denominations on how baptism really goes about. I mean, for some, people push baptism the whole way up to the beginning of their lives before any recollection of themselves being baptized. And people ask the question many times when we talk about believers' baptism, well, how does that happen? Why does that happen? And we discover that while these traditions are very important for many people, that we sometimes can't find examples of that in the Bible. Now, if you were raised in a different denomination or a different way, I'm not here to say anything negative about that. I am really glad that your parents decided to have you baptized as an infant. It's what they knew, it's what they thought was important, and that was a blessing that they gave to their children. So I want to go through a little bit about how baptism started in the Bible. So let's start with a story. Pretend for a moment you were a man living in the first century. Now for some of you that's more of a stretch. Your mom was Greek and your dad was a Roman. And you were raised in that culture and you're raised around the culture of these Greek gods, Zeus, Athena, and others. But one day your family decided to move to Jerusalem because they were a merchant family and they went to Jerusalem to do business. And when they got to Jerusalem, they started their business, and they started interacting with these Jews. And you were part of that. You hadn't really bought into the Greek gods all that much. Oh, yeah, was there gods out there? Yeah, you kind of believed that. But you soon discovered that these Jewish people believed in this one and only God. And these people were oppressed. They were overly taxed. They had faith in Yahweh. And they were so devout, and they were conservative, and they were so committed to their families. And they were committed to this word righteousness, which was a new word for you. And there was some intrigue by all of you as you figured that out. But slowly, you can imagine, slowly, something inside of you attracted you to this idea of this one true, living, invisible God. And so you started reading some of the literature and try to figure some of this out. And the literature was written in either Greek or Aramaic. You started becoming more fascinated with this idea. And so you started asking some of your merchant friends, hey, what's this big deal about being a Jew? What does it mean to follow one true God? And you start talking to some of your friends, and they give you some information. They said, well, let me ask you a question. Is it possible to become a Jew? And your friends looked at each other and like, you know, I don't know. I think you can, but I'm not really sure. So, I tell you what, we're going to take you down to the temple. We're going to have you talk to some of the experts. So they take you down to the temple to the outer gates, and they introduce you to some of the scribes and the lawyers. I mean, believe me, they know it all. They got it all figured out. And they take you down there, and they say, and you start talking with them, and you ask the question, can I convert to be Jewish? And they said, sure, absolutely, you can convert to be a Jew. Well, what does that require? Well, one of the scribes says, well, let me start with the most difficult one first. You're going to have to be circumcised. And they say, you know what? Zeus isn't that bad after all. I think I like Athena. I mean, I like some of the things that's going on in Greek life. The second thing is you need to submit to the law of Moses. You need to have a ceremonial meal, and you're just like, well, yeah, I'd like to eat. I can do that. You got to also sacrifice at the temple and said, okay, I can probably do that too. And the last thing you need to do is you need to do this ceremonial washing, this ritual washing where you go in and you wash away all your Gentileness, and you are now become a Jew. And you thought, well, you know what? Besides that first one that I got to think about, I think I can do that. But let me go home and talk to my wife. And so you go home and you talk to your wife. And you walk in the door and you say, hey, kids, where's mom? Oh, she's down at the river. Okay. So you go down to the river. And she's down there washing her clothes. And you say, hey, I got some information for us. And so he goes, what's that? Well, let's just put it this way. It's going to be easier for you than it is for me to become a Jew. Okay, all right, got that. And they said that we need to do this ritual bath. And they probably used this word baptizo. Now, this word baptizo means wash, dip, dunk, immerse, drown. This word baptizo was not some religious word. It was a common everyday word. Like they used when a ship would sink in battle. They would say it was baptizoed. It was so much a common word that a piece of cloth was dipped into dye was called baptizo. Or if you were making pickles and you would baptize or baptizo or wash in boiling water these pickles and then take them out and then wash them in vinegar to make pickles. So this word baptizo was this common word. It had no really religious significance, but it was basically saying that you were cleansed of your Gentileness and put on your Jewishness. Now, what I want to explain is this, that this word baptizo, what we did was we took this word, which really means wash, and we made it into an English word called baptize. And so, as you're coming back, after talking with your meeting with the scribes, and you go back to the river, and you're talking to your wife and everything about this whole experience, all at once, you hear this loud commotion down by the river. And you look down, you see this guy. I mean, he's got like long hair. He looks pretty weird. He's saying all kinds of crazy things. And so he's like, what's going on with this guy? So you walk down a little bit further. And you try to go down there, and you see this guy with his weird beard and his hair. And you hear him saying these words, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. One coming greater than I, prepare the way of the Lord. And it was John. John was down at the river. And as you see John down the river, something else you notice. He was saying these words, and then people were lined up to walk down into the water, and John starts washing these people. Now, we don't know if he dunked them, if he poured them. We know he didn't drown them because it came up. But we know something happened. And what we realized was that people seem to be buying into John's message. And buying into this message, they walk down into the water, and John washed them. And I have to tell you, when I was little, growing up in the church, in a Baptist church down the street, when I read this John the Baptist, I thought he was one of those people that was from the Baptist church. Made sense to me, John the Baptist. But that wasn't the case. But he was down there washing these different people. And then you're down there by the water, and you're kind of watching this going on. And then all at once, this John guy shouts out and says something. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The one I told you about, here he is." And there you are, and you look, and all at once this guy walks from out of the crowd down by John in the water. And this guy, and whispers start going around, you get the idea, this guy was John in the water, and someone says, "Hey, that's John's cousin." And his cousin, Jesus, says to John, "I want you to wash me." And John goes, No, Jesus, "I want you to wash me." And they're back and forth. "No, you wash me. No, you wash me. Okay, we're going to settle this. Rock, paper, scissors." No, that's not how it went. But they were kind of figuring this out. And then finally, John the washer washes Jesus in front of all the people. And then, as we heard earlier by Ron, we know that God said this is a good thing. And so Jesus comes out of the water, and he starts walking away, and some followers started following Jesus while John was there still baptizing people. Well, sometime later, John keeps baptizing people. And then soon, John gets arrested. And some of his followers get scared, but they're still confident in John, and they head off. Two people head off to another area to go and baptize people that were following John the Baptist. And so they do that. And the people that were following Jesus, now Jesus didn't baptize them, but they were out there. Jesus' followers were starting to baptize all kinds of people. And soon, John the Baptist, who was arrested, other people went to other parts of the country. Well, then, fast forward in your Bibles. At a time when there was no internet, no Facebook, no communication, no cell phones, we hear in the Bible about John's followers are off in Europe. And meanwhile, Jesus has come and gone and died on the cross and is crucified and then is resurrected. But these two guys, John, the Baptist guys that were out there in Europe, they didn't hear about all these things that were going on. And so they're out there baptizing people in the name of John the Baptist or the one that is coming. And the Bible tells us that Paul, one of the followers of Jesus, he got baptized. And he's in Ephesus. And one day he runs into these two guys. Years later, and he hears something, and Paul hears this word, and he's like, "What are they saying?" They're saying these words, "Behold. Behold those preaching and things that are happening for them." And Paul starts hearing these words from these people, these two guys that are being baptized. They're baptizing people. And they're sort of like late in the game. And so Paul walks up to these John the Baptized guys and says, "Hey, guys, have you heard?" I'm like, "Heard what? What do you mean, heard something? Have you heard that Jesus was crucified and died on the cross and he rose from the dead? So, guys, you need to change your message." And then in Acts 19:4, Paul says this, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told people to believe in the one coming after him, and that is Jesus." And the Bible tells, on hearing this, they were then baptized into the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Paul then baptized these people. They were rewashed by Paul in the name of Jesus. So now, what do we learn about all this? We learn that baptism is simply a public declaration of a new association, a new identity. That people associate themselves with this man or this teaching. And it was in a public place, and baptism demonstrated their heart's commitment to something. And so this common word, baptizo, in many different forms, was just a common word that became central to Christianity. And what has tended to happen throughout all the centuries was this illustration I told you about baptism got loaded with all kinds of stuff. All kinds of ways throughout centuries and centuries. It got attached to all kinds of things and ways that was so different than what the New Testament was talking about. And so really, baptism is for individuals who can make a decision about Jesus, who want to associate themselves with him. And that's why we don't baptize infants. It does not mean that infant baptism was not meaningful for your parents, but it wasn't, because we dedicate children all the time. And we don't find a baby being baptized in the New Testament. Now, some people say, well, no, Lynn, you're wrong, because you need to read the Bible more carefully. Okay? Some would say that there's some verses in the Bible that say this man became a Christian and shared it with his family, and the whole family was baptized. And I would say, well, that's true. My whole family now has been baptized. We don't know how old they were when they were describing this family. We don't know at what age. And so we don't know exactly what happened there. But we here at Slate Hill, we are part of this umbrella called Anabaptists, rebaptizers. In the 1500s, Anabaptists rejected the state church practice of baptizing all infants in society. For Anabaptists, baptism signified a personal decision to follow Christ, a decision that would be impossible for a baby to make. And so these Anabaptists were studying the Bible, and they come up and they looked at the church and the state, how they were so tied together, and the taxation, and to become an infant person, you would be baptized, you become part of the system. And they were so interlinked, and they looked at their Bibles, these Anabaptists looked at their Bibles and said, you know what, this doesn't really seem to mesh with what the New Testament says. They couldn't find evidence of people receiving baptism when they were babies. And so they had this idea, these Anabaptists said, well, you know what? We are now going to go out and we're going to rebaptize people. And we're going to rebaptize them even if they were baptized as infants. And the second thing that they did was even more impactful. They decided not to baptize their infants. And our history is so full of people who died for their conviction because they took the understanding of this New Testament understanding of baptism seriously. Because it threatened the state authority. But even more, it messed up this idea of counting individuals for taxation. Because infant baptism was part of the process of becoming a citizen. And these Anabaptists wanted to separate between church and state. And so that's sort of how baptism happened in the New Testament. So for us, baptism is a sign of faith. It's a marker. It's a stake. It's the beginning. It's not the end. It has no special power in of itself. It's meaningful to experience God in a new way, to publicly say to everyone here that I am committed to Jesus, and I want to make that public confession to those around us. The second thing is this baptism shows obedience of God's call. That we are part of God's call to carry forward God's story, that we are part of that story. You are part of God's story to be disciples. And baptism is not a recognition of achievement, that you pass some faith class or you're spiritually mature. Baptism is a sign of what God has done for us in Christ, not what we have achieved for God. And finally, baptism is connected with membership. When we say yes to Jesus, you're also saying yes to be accountable to this body assembled here today. Now, later on, we're going to head down to the creek to baptize 3 people today. I don't know. We're not going to Messiah today, okay? We usually get down to Messiah College, but there's so many conflicting reports. We can or cannot be there because of events. 3 days ago, it said we couldn't. Today, it says maybe we could, but I'm not going to chance it. So we're going to head down to Lower Allen Park for the baptism, okay? And we're going to go down there. And what I love about these kind of baptisms is this. I have no idea what is happening at Lower Allen Park right now. I don't know if there's 500 people there or 30. But see, to me, that is exactly what happened when they baptized people in the river. People were washing clothes. Things were happening. There was normal activity going on. And people were standing down in the water being baptized as a public declaration of a witness what is happening to them. And so we have no idea what's going to happen down at Lower Allen Park. There might be a boat going down in the launches. We're trying to have a baptism. I don't know. But I think it's exactly the kind of thing that happened back in the first century. And so I am so excited that these people today, 3 have committed to be baptized, and 2 are being brought in membership by their confession of faith.